Ladies and gentlemen, the Miami Dolphins start 0-2. Is the end near? Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Dolphins Collective. We are here with a special episode on Monday, the day after the Miami Dolphins experience a terrible loss to the New England Patriots. Division rivals to slide to 0-2, headed to the Buffalo Bills this week. Before we get started, Omar, how you doing, man? How's the day treating you?
I'm irritable and angry, but I'm no different than any Dolphin fan out there.
Why are you angry?
You know what it is? It's Dolphin fans who think that because they can't reach the players, that I need to be their punching bag for their frustration or their disappointment. It's, you know, as I wrote in a column for the Miami Herald, you can literally say anything right now about the Dolphins. And
you can't defend it.
No, there's no defense.
Oh my God.
And I'm not interested in defending anything or anybody, but, you know, it's open season.
Already. Oh, you lie. You're so interested in defending a certain somebody. You lie.
No, I am not. No, this, see, we're not gonna gang up on me. You read your sleeper promo. Read the sleeper promo.
All right, man. Well, with that being said,
got me naked. No defense. No backup. No fullback.
Well, Sleeper is the proud sponsor of Dolphins Collective. Shout out to Sleeper, and thank you for everybody who support us by supporting our sponsors. Sleeper is where you can get a $100 match on your first deposit up to that full $100 using code HMA. Don't forget that piece, HMA. All right, take advantage of Sleeper. You know, we've been using it every single week on this channel, putting our picks in. Sadly enough, Tua and company has really hurt us on our picks. But, you know, at the end of the day, there is Monday night football tonight. So real quick, guys, before we even dive into everything we need to talk about with the Dolphins, I want y'all to help me at least put my picks in on the Chargers-Raiders game. Okay. All right? Let's go with that one, all right? Justin Herbert, who looked like Josh Allen last week, who Omar, never mind.
What I did?
I did that for Allen, because Allen know what time it is. You know what? I'm not even going to give this one to you, Omar, because I'm not going to get a fair assessment. Allen knows 254.5 yards passing tonight. Are we over or under?
That's a good number, because I'm going to guess it's going to be right around that ballpark. Chargers threw a lot more against the Chiefs than anybody anticipated. I think they might lean more to the running game tonight. I'm going to go a little bit under.
Ooh, under. Justin Herbert, 254.5. Well, guess what, man? He got a nice wide receiver by the name of Ladd McConkey, who has been phenomenal. But his line is at 75.5. Omar, do you see him going over or under?
I definitely see him going under. I don't know where everybody gets this Ladd McConkey's like some baller, some
difference. Because he is some baller.
Are you kidding? Sorry. Hey, he that dude though. Omar.
He's Justin Herbert's also got a Hall of Fame slot receiver on his team. So
who was that?
Hall of Fame, dude. Really?
Who are you talking about?
Keenan Allen is talking about, but Hall of Fame?
You don't think Keenan Allen is Hall of Fame worthy? Allen is 100 is top in receptions. I looked up some stat the other day for Tyreek, and I was surprised to see Keenan. I can't remember which one it was, but I was surprised to see Keenan Allen in the top category for that stat. I'm gonna look it up right now. See what it is.
That's interesting, though. But if you don't know about Ladd McConkey, the guy got sure hands. He's a great route runner. He's good in open space. Cute. I mean, just phenomenal.
Cute.
Okay, who would you take right now? You starting your organization, Ladd McConkey or Jalen Waddle?
Oh, damn. You put me in a tough spot now. Hold on, wait a minute now. Hold on,
Keenan Allen. Let us know in the chat what you think.
Keenan Allen is 40th in.
Oh, I didn't. Yard. Oh, okay, okay. 40th.
40th in receiving law.
Yard. All time.
All time.
Oh, we're gonna go all numbers.
He's two spot. You come on. You like you love
numbers. Tua's passer rating yesterday was 115.5.
Oh, why we gotta bring that up? What
numbers?
What does that have to do?
Because you're obsessed with numbers.
What are you talking about pass rating? At what point?
You're obsessed with numbers.
Like, oh my god!
You aren't obsessed with numbers. You. Of all people, aren't obsessed with numbers. So you really
okay? A little bit. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, Omar. Come on. If Keenan Allen ever been in any season, somebody you would say without hesitation is a top 10 receiver in the NFL. The dude's been very good, very consistent.
Definitely receiver in the NFL. Definitely top slot receiver. He's a monster. He's been a monster his whole career.
He's a great receiver, but would you say elite, like the cream of the crop?
Route running? Absolutely.
So you put him in the same category as Tyreek Hill, the same category as Justin
Receivers, though. They're completely different receivers. Keenan Allen's going to move the chains. Tyreek, that's not his thing. And even though I do agree that they should use Tyreek as a slot receiver, and they seem to be moving in that direction, you know, we know what elite slot receivers look like, and Keenan Allen is an elite slot receiver. I don't think you can mention five slot receivers better than him in this era of football. You got the Welker.
Wes Welker, Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not putting Julian. Come on. Stop it. Julian Edelman isn't even at, like, 6,000 receiving yards. Okay. I'll give you Wes Welker.
Again, numbers. We should talk Dolphins.
All right. Real quick, before we do, because I want to put this one in. Geno Smith, 240.5 yards. Omar.
Over. Definitely over. Geno Smith is balling lately.
All right. Last one, Allen. Genty. All right. Anytime touchdown. Oh, yes or no?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I'm going to put that one in. I'm going to just be a little easy on it. A little $5 is going to bring me a nice $40 pretty much. So that's how I like to play it, Omar. I do it slowly but surely.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, man. It's because, you know, I like to have fun with it. I don't do it as a, oh, my gosh, I got to come. It's actually fun to me to play sleeper. I treat it like the game that it is. It's enjoyable for me. So there you have it. It also has fantasy football and so much more with sports news as well. Let's get into it, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are. The Miami Dolphins suffer a terrible loss to the New England Patriots. We're talking about a game that was filled with a roller coaster of emotions for everybody watching. We want to start out with Allen here. Listen, talk to me, man. What were your biggest takeaways from this game? So the thing that stood out the most from you.
Back-to-back either false start or delay game penalties on the two drives when you're down in the fourth quarter. That's completely, utterly inexcusable. And they, again, the Dolphins are supposed to be this high-powered offense. Well, ostensibly, they look good for a good chunk of the game. But in the fourth quarter, when you have to have it, to have those operational disasters, to me, is completely, completely unforgivable.
But who's responsible for that? Who has to, at the end of the day, take full responsibility for that?
Again, that's too easy. I mean, it's like, it's come on, Omar, it's very easy to say it's Mike McDaniel because he's the one who's got to instill that in the players. That's too easy. You're making the disapproving.
Yeah, no, he thought you were going to say Tua. That's why.
You're making the toxic face.
Like Mike walked up to the podium.
Of course he's going to say that.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to say that. He's the head coach.
And if I okay.
Go ahead.
I am nine. There were nine negative plays on those 20 plays. In the two drives, the two critical drives where the Dolphins had the opportunity to take to basically take the lead and win game. Nine negative plays. a 2 yard run loss, two penalties for delay of game, two false starts, gave up 3 sacks. I'm not even counting the overthrow to Tyreek Hill, and then the fourth down pass. That's
why are you not counting that?
Because I don't know if that was Tua was throwing it and thinking Tyreek was continuing to run a streak, or if that it was supposed to. Like, I don't know the inner workings of that pass. Like, did Tua throw it thinking Tyreek was going to continue to run? And it's like, and that's why I can't really sit there. And there were 3 defenders around him when he dropped into the bucket. So it's like, to me, I would have moved off that play if I wasn't throwing.
He was open.
Wide open. It was 3 players around him in a triangle with 8 yards each. 8 over there, 8 over there, 8 underneath.
I don't know if it's 8, but yeah.
It might have been more. My mind just threw out 8.
Right now. I'm going to look at the play.
Yeah, please. As soon as he broke and turned around, it was a triangle around him, but it was a massive triangle. Massive.
Do you honestly think Tyreek? Hold on, let me make my point. You honestly think Tyreek jumps up and down in frustration the way he did if he's the one who had messed up by running the wrong route? Say whatever you want about Tyreek. Come on.
No. I disagree with you. What? Ooh. We don't know. One.
Okay.
And I'm not making excuses for Tua. But how often is Tyreek running the wrong
route? No, you would never. You would never do that.
That was a definitive route by Tyreek Hill.
That was what?
The definitive route, jumping up and down like, gosh, I got him. I had him. This was an easy 20, 25 yards.
They were not 8 yards away from him. They were 4 each. It was a triangle around him.
Wide open.
Okay,
Omar, do you understand that 4 yards is 12 feet?
Listen.
4 yards is 12 feet. Wow,
that ball, okay, even if it was a misfire. I don't care. Quarterbacks misfire all the time. It is what it is.
It's critical moments.
Now, when you're supposed to be the most accurate quarterback in the NFL, come on, Omar, I'm going to get on your.
this tag team is like one coming from the rope, one coming from the top rope, one brings a chair from behind the back. Listen, I don't care. You can literally say whatever you want to say about the Dolphins right now. It's accurate. Like it is open season on the Dolphins, and until they beat the Buffalo Bills, there's nothing that's going to put an end to it. There's nothing that's going to put an end to the criticism. Right now, I want you all both to tell me on the list of problems that the Miami Dolphins have, where does Tua stack up in the top 10?
His number, his jersey number.
Number one. Okay, Poupard.
No, he's not number one, but you're absolving him of all blame on that.
I'm not absolving him of all blame. I put the blame for the season opening loss on him. No question. No, hands down, no question. You cannot turn the ball over 3 times. That game, okay, he turns the ball over at the end. How many of those negative plays was he responsible? How many of those 8 negative plays on the final 20 drives was he responsible for?
A lot more than I think you're willing to give.
Yeah, and what you're also not counting are the opportunities he missed. That's another thing you're not counting. And the reason why I have Tua number one, I'm not even trolling when I say that. Everything around him is a result of him. Is how they built the team. Everything we do, and I'm going to stick to this, everything we have right now as an organization is revolved around trying to make a nucleus that works for him. And that just doesn't work. Omar, you muted.
It's probably a good thing, TD. Oh, that's too easy.
While Omar is working on his audio, we want to give a special – yeah, we can't hear you, bro. We want to give a special shout-out to another sponsor in SeatGeek. Use code FINS. Get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Listen, if you're a Dolphins fan, there is no better time than right now to get on SeatGeek, take advantage of the opportunities to get tickets at the best prices that you are going to see in a long time. And I would actually hoard up on the tickets. I would get some throughout the season because, you know – even though this team is down, it's still always a good experience to take your family to a game. So go check out SeatGeek. Get in on the action. Omar, are you back?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
You know how many people are going to Buffalo, even though I've consistently warned people about going to Buffalo?
Why are you warning people, though? What's the negative? Because I need to know. I'm headed out tomorrow.
It's Buffalo ain't a town you want to visit, bro.
But you got to tell me why.
It's the bottom 30 town in the NFL.
Like, oh, it's just boring? It's
boring. People who don't, it's depressing. People don't want to live there. The food isn't that great. It's okay. What do they have? Niagara Falls. You want to drive 45 minutes to go see a falls?
Good football team.
Yeah, very good football team. And good stadium. I will acknowledge that. I like the old stadium that's being replaced. But if you're going to go, this is great weather to go in. But other than that, it's usually going to be a disaster from a weather standpoint.
So it's not going to be too cold, because I'm still trying to figure out how to dress and how to prepare. Because that's what I'm worried about. The reason why I'm going, Omar, because I'm going to be a part of our team getting back on track.
Ooh, it's 70, 80. It's 80 degrees on tomorrow. 55 and 80 is the high. On Thursday it'll be 60. The lowest is 60. So
all right, ain't bad.
You just need a little jacket.
Okay. Yeah, man. I'm trying to go up there and witness my team winning, man. We got to get back on track.
That's the only way that they can solve what's the bleeding that's taking place right now.
So what was your biggest takeaway, though, in this game?
What was my biggest takeaway in the game? That all of the rookies that you put on the field are not doing well. And you can't stop the run. Jonah is a problem. Not the worst offensive lineman, but he's certainly a guy that needs help. And right now you got to give that help to the right side. So you got Jonah out there naked against Milton Williams, who got his butt handed to him. Jason Marshall Jr., I get it. You really don't have any other options, but this is the position that you put yourself in as an organization. A lot is being vested in young players with the upside coming later down the line. You're not going to get to the upside.
Well, not this coaching staff might not get to the upside.
Yeah.
Jonah was
going to get to the upside.
Jonah was rated the worst O-lineman in the NFL this week.
I don't care about ratings.
Oh, now you don't care about numbers.
I never care about ratings. Poobar will tell you.
He cares about passer rate. Passer rating.
Do I care about Pro Football Focus player ratings?
He cares about passer rating.
I do care about passer rating.
Okay, there you go. No, Omar does not. Omar's not a big fan of PFF.
Well, the biggest thing that stood out for me in this game was Mike McDaniel. Everything that the message from the summer, no, it's already failing. The more disciplined team, the tougher team. Listen, the discipline. That was apparent in this game. All of those penalties, the lack of even your staff not being able to communicate and get the plays in on time, all of that is unacceptable. This is the third year in this system, fourth year in this system, and we're having these kind of issues. And maybe y'all can correct me if I'm wrong here, but you know what I think I'm noticing? They're trying to open it up for the things that they've always hidden. Like the things that Tua didn't do well, they're starting to try to do. Tua had some out routes, some intermediate out routes in this game, and he threw them actually well. He actually threw them well. And it looks like
from time to time he doesn't.
But Omar, you saw it
very little last year.
Was a focal point in this game. I think he completed three of them. You don't get that. I don't think he's ever had a game where it was more than 10 yards on the outside running a comeback or the outside where it's been that many yards. I don't think so.
Dude, he lived on that in 2022 and 2023. He lived on those.
The post or the comebacks in the outs?
Both. The outs had like with Tyreek getting like between the first layer of defenders and in front of the DBs who were playing 25 yards off him because they were so scared.
I'm not talking about the 5 to 10 yard ones. I'm talking about two of those 15 to 20. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I think that they're opening up more, trying to expose him to the things that McDaniel really don't want him in more. And I think that's confusing him. I think it has him behind the line of scrimmage, trying to go through his reads actually like the right way, and he get happy feet. And it's starting to expose who he is as a quarterback, being forced to actually play the position.
You know what's giving him happy feet?
What's that?
Having
Here it comes.
Having a line that can't protect you.
You know what's crazy? Was the O-line not playing well in the first, up until the middle of the second half?
Okay.
Weren't they playing well? I didn't even know the O-line was a, like, with that first sack Tua got, I was like, man, the O-line must have been playing really good. This is the first time I even noticed him in trouble.
Let me see. What did they finish the game with?
Yeah, all of those.
Five sacks.
Fourth quarter sacks.
Omar, how many quarterbacks in the NFL would have absorbed five sacks in that game on those plays where their Tua got sacked? Come on, be honest.
How many would have absorbed those sacks on plays
all five of those sacks?
Maybe three.
On those plays. Come on, be honest.
Well, a lot of them were scrambles that you were trying to get past the line of scrimmage, and he failed to do so.
One of those. This is the one with the overhead shot where he has Tanner Connor wide open as he's running towards the sideline with a pretty easy throw.
Y'all, I really don't get how both of you gentlemen undervalue the importance of putting together a line that makes you feel safe and comfortable in terms of not speeding up my internal clock or not flushing me off my spot. And yeah, there are a lot of quarterbacks that can move and scramble and improvise. And that is the way that the game is going right now. It's a great fad and a great trend as long as college is supplying those players. Tua fits into traditional quarterback. Dan Orlovsky just put a thing up about why college is not developing the quarterbacks. And number four on that list, which I tweeted out with the intentions that both of you would look at it.
I looked at it, and I'm going to slap back at it.
Teams are putting athleticism over accuracy. And there is nobody in the NFL that doesn't think that accuracy isn't the most important trait to a quarterback.
But you have to have some athleticism to make things happen when play breaks down. And that's what Tua didn't do on either of those last two drives.
I'm sorry. In today's NFL, I'll go out on a limb to say athleticism is more important than accuracy in today's NFL. Because you can be Tua in that pocket all you want. What results is that getting him? But you look at the athletic guys, are they not getting results out of just their athleticism? I'm one of the only people out here that think this about Patrick Mahomes. Sitting in the pocket, he is not as elite as you think. His improvisational skills make people think that he's like the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady processor. He's actually not. His ability to extend plays and make plays off of breakdowns is more important than a quarterback's accuracy and all the other stuff in today's NFL. You know why? Because defenses are forcing every quarterback to be athletic. It's a part of the game plan now. We are going to force you to be athletic. And those who are overly athletic, we're going to try to not force you to be athletic. Okay. That's what it is. That's what it's about. You can run. We don't want you to. You can't. We're going to make you. It's that simple. So you can have your accuracy all you want. When they get you off your spot, which their goal is to do, we're going to blame the O-line every single time. When that's their specific game plan, getting you off the spot, bull rushing those weak ends over there to make a move, and Tua can't move at an effective level. He can't.
Let me give you a perfect example of this. The situation against the Colts, and I hate to be bringing up an old game when we've got a new disaster to address. Situation against the Colts where they had three rushers, five protecting three, and they still flushed Tua out the pocket to get the interception because the linebacker drops back into coverage. You don't think, do you not have some sort of respect or expectation that five should be able to block three?
Of course.
Absolutely.
And Omar, but here's the thing, Omar. Absolutely, the Dolphins need a better offensive line for Tua based on this style of quarterbacking than most teams do. And unfortunately, it's kind of the opposite. The Dolphins have a subpar offensive line, which some quarterbacks could manage behind. And it's problematic for Tua because he needs more than most quarterbacks a good offensive line to protect him.
Yes.
And we got to stop blaming the O-line for the interception, though. Just because you were rushed on the pass, if you can't complete it, don't make it. Okay. Like there's still a decision that has to be made.
Just jumped in front of it.
Yeah, but there has to be a decision that's made under pressure. You still got to make a decision. And yes,
I think throughout his career, he has shown you that he's a good quarterback in making decisions under pressure. Is he clutch? No, but he is a good quarterback when it comes to making decisions under pressure. Like, I'm sorry. I stand on. Oh, stop it. Both of you. Stop it. Listen,
you know, I mean, it was fair. Omar, he's not bad. He's not average. He's above average. I know what you mean when you say that he can make some good decisions under pressure. He can find somebody. But the level in which you need to be, he's just not there to me.
He's not going
to
carry a franchise. He's not carrying a franchise.
But they paid him like he's going to carry the franchise.
Okay.
Yes.
They paid Trevor Lawrence like he's going to carry a franchise. They played Dak Prescott like he's going to carry a franchise.
He was supposed to make the same mistakes because other teams do it. I get it.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's just follow suit with all the other organizations that's struggling for the very same reason when it matters most.
They pay Tyler Murray like he can carry.
You are naming all of them. Naming them all.
They play Brock Purdy like he can carry a franchise.
Geno Smith, Sam Darnold.
Literally, we are talking about probably there are 8 guys in the NFL that can carry a franchise to a right in the crowd with everybody else. And maybe I'll give you the exception that Green Bay's quarterback might be ready to enter the upper echelon. Maybe even Justin Herbert based on what we see tonight. But we know Justin Herbert is a consistent, habitual pressure dropper in terms of when the pressure mounts,
he
disappears.
Two games.
Okay, listen.
Do you remember the Chiefs game, what he just did, right?
Yes, it was phenomenal.
Now let him do that in December.
In the NFL.
Against a great team. Let him do that in December. Y'all going to forget that first one ever happened.
On to just like the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's why they're fading. That's why they're fading now.
Team started right too, just like the Miami Dolphins. They're the same thing. It's like apples and oranges.
Well, let's get into a little bit of
fixing tangerines.
Let's get into fixing this thing, okay, for the Miami Dolphins. If there was one thing, and you can't say the O-line, right, and there's a reason for that, because I think we just full of young guys. Ain't nothing much you're going to really do with the injuries in the young guys right now. What can the Dolphins do right now, knowing the situation on the O-line that you can't – like Omar, we can't change it right now. Yeah, we can't.
You're right.
We can't really change it. What can the Dolphins do right now that can impact change for the greater?
More play action plays. More RPO plays, more rollout plays. Take some of the pressure off the O-line and off Tua and put it on play calling and play design. Yes, I know rollout plays are what leads to cutting off half the field. And if unless you're Cam Ward, you can't throw across your body and you can't break every rule and law of football. But we need to start calling plays like Tua is a young rookie quarterback in the NFL.
In his sixth year.
This isn't on Tua.
That's the prescription, though. Call it like he's a rookie.
Did in the second and third quarters offensively.
Which is what?
Beat him outside the numbers.
Not going to last for you. That's not going to be a steady diet for Tua.
No, I understand.
But that's unfair to say that because I like the consistency in which he did it.
It's only a matter of time before that was returned for pick six. You and I both know it.
Man, you
want to play these games?
I get what you're saying.
You want to play these games? You want to keep rolling the dice?
I get what you're saying, but you have to roll it until it's not working because that's what they're going to give you on the field, and that's what they were giving us.
That's
what every team is giving us.
And I'm glad Tua showed you that he can do it for all the naysayers out there. I got go this way. Yeah, see, I'm pointing in the right direction. I got
now you're making it seem like it's one of them things he does. That's his thing. That's okay. His bread and butter.
I didn't say he does it, and I just flat out right now said he shouldn't do it. But y'all act like he can't do it. Can't, doesn't, shouldn't. Completely different conversations.
We clarified that last week. He can't do it on a consistent basis.
Oh, say he can do it. Say he can do it. He just shut you up.
All right, all right, all right. I'll admit. I'll admit. A broken clock is right twice a day.
He can do it. Should he do it? No. Should he? It be a steady diet? Like, you can't make. Okay. They went the other way drastically because they know every team in the world is going to cloud the middle of the field on two, especially on short yardage situation. So, okay, good game plan, good strategy. But let's not pretend like teams not going to catch you slipping when you start doing that on a regular basis.
But he got to read that. He just got to – you got to keep doing it for him to get more comfortable with it. Like, do you understand that – Go ahead.
It was the first time in many games going back to last year that they attacked the outside with that particular throw, and it needs to become becomes a staple of the offense.
It has to be part of the diet.
Correct. Absolutely part of the diet.
Because here's the thing, Omar.
And Omar seems skeptical about that.
If he can give you four to five of those a game,
you asking for a lot. You asking for a lot.
He's a different player. Something that simple.
We're not talking about Ryan Tannehill's arm.
But he did three. I mean, add another one to two on some occasions where you really need it in a game. That can be a difference.
I don't want that to be my strategy and recipe to save my season.
Man, are they not in desperation mode?
That's just not. I'm sorry. You don't ask me to play left. It's funny. So you like, don't ask me to play left-handed and beat you.
What's wrong with being left-handed? Seriously?
Omar just confirmed left-handed quarterbacks can't beat you, ladies and gentlemen. Well,
I take great offense to that.
So. You left-handed, Alan?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's man.
Since I was born.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, not everybody since they were born, Alan. Not everybody.
Actually, the old joke is everybody's born right-handed, but some of us grow out of it. We're talking offense here, and that's all great and dandy, but the defense doesn't get better. Although, as I pointed out on social media on Monday, Dolphins gave up 110 yards in the second half, which isn't bad, except 55 of them came on one play. And that's one of those plays where hats off to Drake May, who slid in the pocket and still made something happen as opposed to the play ended. And then Ramondre Stevenson easily got behind Jordan Brooks, and Ramondre Stevenson is not necessarily fast. So that was props to Drake May. Not great on
Drake May performed very well and didn't turn the football over.
Yep. Zero takeaways.
Didn't turn the football over.
Defense.
He did 19 to 23 passes. That's pretty damn good.
Well, I got to call something out real quick. Sit on my little high horse for 5 seconds here. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, I know a lot of people, TD don't know what he be talking about. About a month ago, I was crucified on this channel because
you would not.
No. AI showed up and tried to argue with me on why we should sign Zach Sealer. And I kept telling y'all, no, you got to move on from Zach Sealer because this team isn't going to amount to anything. And you're going to be paying him for 2 to 3 years while we're rebuilding. And on top of it, it's still kind of unproven because he's always had that rock next to him. And right now, Zach Sealer is underwhelming, getting pushback. But I'm not going to blame Sealer. And here's why I feel like he's out of position. You're asking him to basically be the nose tackle, be that rock in the middle when he's a get-off guy. He's a guy that you want to disrupt the backfield, but you're asking him to hold the line in a lot of these formations, and I'm seeing this man get stood up by centers and guards quite a bit, quite a bit. So what are your thoughts on Zach Sealer's performance so far. He was solid last week. Not impactful, but solid in his play. But this week versus the Patriots, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I saw him losing all over the field.
That guy.
That was more than 5 seconds, by the way.
Oh, yeah. My bad. Go ahead.
Okay. Dude, you're not wrong, and you did say it. You were against it. So, but again, it is two games. So far the body of evidence, just like so far the body of evidence is the Dolphins really messed up by not taking Tyler Warren at number 13 and instead taking Kenneth Grant, because right now you're not seeing the impact from him. And Tyler Warren looks like, I hate to use that term, dare I say generational, or I mean, damn impactful tight end. Like the kind of guys the Dolphins would have that position solved for the next 10 years. Didn't go that route. Kenneth Grant might become that player defensive tackle down the line right now. And we should have known that, though. It was going to take some time. And the other part of it, too, if we're going to be in the second-guessing mode, Dolphins traded up two picks. I don't know how many picks they gave away.
Jonah.
They move up to draft Jonah. And so far, again, still ridiculously early, still may become a very good guard in the NFL. But right now, a lot of those moves are not looking great. But this is what happens when you're 0-2 and not looking impressive. Everything right now looks bad.
Everything is going wrong. Nothing's really on the up and up.
I'm trying to think of something that's going right.
Devon Achane. Dude played three defensive snaps.
He made two plays.
I know.
Oh, yeah, but he need to be on the field more. I'm sorry.
Okay, how do we get him on the field more? Because I don't disagree with you.
Whoever in front of him is not playing better than him in the limited snaps that he's getting, period. Snaps he got, he balled out. Give him more. He need four next week, then eight if he keeps it up.
Be either Jalen Phillips or Terrell Dotson, who's your green dot player.
Hold on. When he was on the field, what the Dolphins had were two pure defensive linemen, the two edge defenders, and then they had three linebackers.
We got to stop at three linebackers.
Maybe use them more often than having three of the big uglies up front.
And they also got pummeled on the run.
No, the problem, Omar, is
when he was on the field, they didn't.
We got the three down linemen. That got to stop yesterday. The three down. Matter of fact, put everybody hand in the dirt to begin with.
Okay, you want them to play in the nickel? Well, obviously.
The problem is he's trying to get all of them playing time, I believe. He's trying to get everybody, because when you look at the playing percentage, all of them around the 45, 55, like in those trenches, maxing out around 60 or whatever.
Different packages.
He's trying to make sure he balances it, because we have too many cooks in the kitchen, I feel like. We do. We got too many cooks in the kitchen. We don't have any, like some of those guys he's starting that are worth starting, but it's how we built the team. We got extra guys up front, like at the top, but the depth isn't there. We don't have some waves.
It'll benefit you when you have a lead and you can play with a lead. Problem is they haven't had a lead.
That's the problem.
They're structured.
But they did. They did. They were up 17-15.
For what, 11 seconds? 15.
No, and then 2015. And then 27-23, you're right. Or what was it? Yeah, 27-23.
They didn't have a lead for long. You say, what's happening good? I got nothing for you other than Willie Gay is doing well. And Bradley Chubb has two sacks on the season. That's about it.
Devon Achane.
I don't have a problem with the way Jordan Brooks is playing. Minka hasn't had no impact.
I'd be forgetting he on the field. People be like, Minka go make a play. I'm like, dang, I keep forgetting we got him.
Maybe it's the defense.
Yeah. Ramsey tried to tell us.
Oh, stop it. Listen.
But how this is what happened the last 2 years with Minka, where he had very few impactful plays, and it was kind of part of it was what they asked him to do and all that. Well, if what they're asking him to do is the reason he's not getting takeaways, they've given up 33 points of the first two games. Ask him to do something else. How about that?
And answer me this. Why does it look like the safety's playing worse than the corner?
They're not that. None of it is fundamentally. Like, no receiver got off of Miami.
because everybody got off. It was spread out so beautifully.
Well, hold on. That's the way this defense is designed. It's designed to give up certain things and keep everything in front of them and then tighten up in the red zone, tighten up on third downs, but they don't.
But what did I tell you in camp, Omar? What did I tell you coming in camp? I said the one thing you did say, yeah, well, this defense is going to leave that open, but it killed us all day. The running back getting out in the flat on the wheel. It keep in the defense, and I said, yeah, but he got to figure that out just in case.
Slot receivers in the drag, running backs creeping out the backfield. I be honest with you, you could throw out on this team.
Yeah,
they're not covering the perimeters either. But you know,
but we're gonna stay in it.
My problem number one about this team, number one. And I'm not even going to say offensive line because that's just a layup waiting for
me. Yeah, we know that's quarterback driven. Go ahead.
If you can't stop the run, you have no chance to have success on third downs. You can't pin your ears back and hunt because now you got to play two. You got to take two approaches. And I'm sorry, but you shouldn't let teams have 11 straight possessions where they're scoring on you. Like, you got to get third down stops, and third down stops begin with being good on first and second down.
Well, let me ask you.
Except, like, there was one scoring drive. It was conversions on third and four, third and six, and third and six, which is not exactly short yardage either. You know, it's not like third and 10 or third and 11 and all that. And then they had how they gave up a first down on third and 13 because Dante Trader lost his ankles in the open field against Travion Henderson. So it wasn't because I went and looked back because I thought, I think one of the defenders, because that's a great talking point. Why weren't you better on third down? Well, it's because the third downs were, we got to be better on first and second down. So I went and looked, and there were some long third and mid or long conversions. It's not too easy to go with the other route. They're just right now, they're just not very good on defense. I mean, even though, again, they wound up tightening up a little bit in the second half, horrible against Indy, horrible in the first half. I mean, who the hell was covering Mac Hollins on his touchdown? I mean, it was a very simple run. Holy smokes, was the guy.
He did a good job. He did a good job selling that too, though. He went to the next level to block and shot out. It was the last guy. He did a good job on that one.
Mac Hollins.
This is true too. Just like Andrew Van Ginkle. There's a lot of people who can say that.
Except the weird part about Mac Hollins is, every year changes teams. I mean, every year changes teams.
Because he's weird. But he should embrace weird.
He should. He does.
Mac is weird. That's why he changes teams every year. I'm not. Well, let's not deny it. The man walks around barefooted in life. Like that. This is, if he could play without shoes, he probably would. But he should be a dog. Because
every player likes stability and the long term. You know. The long-term deals, and it's not happening for him. But he's a serviceable player. I think every place he leaves, they're like, yeah, that was good for us.
Yeah, I think that's actually smart for his caliber of player, because a player like that, you leave a great impression everywhere you go. You contribute, and hey, they'll find a slot for you in the future when you get old. Hey, that go to veteran. Let's bring him. And he's a leader, so I think he's actually old
now. He's officially old.
But I think he could still bounce around for another 2-3 years around this league.
He's a special teams player. He's a special teams stud. He can play in this league for another 5 years. Like the way he plays special teams.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Mac, there's no reason, Mac. Anyway, that's a whole different.
By the way, I know we have to get to our members and all that. Got to take care of them. Should we talk very quickly here since the last show we're doing before the game against Buffalo? Honestly, legitimately, do either of you think the Dolphins have a fighting chance in this game?
Absolutely. And you know why? Because this team surprises you when you're ready to pull the plug.
This is true, but I thought that was going to happen this week.
Oh, it's not plug time pulling yet.
Oh, it's already out the socket. Matter of fact, we ain't paid the light bill. It don't even matter.
I mean, they ain't turned it off yet, matter. Though. They're giving you a grace period right now. You probably get another grace period, Omar.
It's already sent to collections.
It has been sent to collections.
It's already in collections.
They have not turned it off. If Miami Dolphins end up beating the Buffalo Bills, season is reset.
Absolutely.
All expectations are right back on the table.
You know what? You are correct. But That ain't what he asked you. Didn't ask you if. He asked you if. He said, will we?
Hold on. I got a good nugget here.
What is it, Mila?
The last time Omar is going to, his fault, this is his loss. He's not going to hear this. You good folks at home are going to hear this. The last time the Dolphins, this is on Miami Dolphins on SI.com, by the way, where all the content is free. The last time the Dolphins started 0-2 was in 2020. That year, their third game of the season was a Thursday night game on the road. The Dolphins won that game, went on to finish 10-6.
So. And what team was that?
They played the Jacksonville Jaguars. It was the game where Ryan Fitzpatrick did all the goofy things in this post-game interview.
When we had a good quarterback. I got you. Oh, I remember that.
It's a shame.
He took his shirt off on the podium and all of that stuff?
He did something goofy. I can't remember what it was. But Omar, as I was saying, first time since 2020, the Dolphins have started 0-2. And that year, their week 3 game was on Thursday night on the road. Day one, finished 10-6 in the regular season.
Okay.
Jacksonville Jaguars 31-13.
Well, it's 17 games this year, so it's a different era.
But they'll finish 11-6.
I'm
not lying to you. I'm not. It's only a matter of time before we pull the plug. But this is their last chance. This is it.
All right. Since we all know that we're not going to win this game, you know, Omar's saying we possibly could.
It's good. They could surprise you. They got to play like wounded animals.
No, that's how we've been playing.
No, you've been playing like you're scared.
Because you're wounded.
Yeah, but instead of biting back, you just cower in the corner waiting
for my God. Can we go back to the electrical outlet analogies?
Oh, man. So here's the deal. We know if we win this game, hope is revived. Okay, maybe this is the start to something. It shocks everybody, right?
Season is now. Reset.
You lose. Mm-hmm. Then what? Is it fire sale right then?
I don't think so.
Is it job on the line or like potential evaluation right then?
If it's a blowout, I think.
You think he doesn't survive a blowout?
Possibly blowout.
If I'm Steve Ross, I'm giving him the Jets game. I'm giving him to the Jets game, and I'm
when
I'm
is not, that?
Huh?
Week four.
Yeah,
week
but four, then right. Omar, you'd make a switch on a short week.
I don't care. When I make a switch,
Like that's not a short week.
When I make a switch,
Jets game because they're playing the following Sunday, which by the way, it's against Carolina, have Robert Hunt, who basically is out for the year.
Out for the season.
When I make a switch, do you really think I care about what happens after that switch?
Then why is it that so often the switch is made during the bye week? You think it's just because it's a convenient time?
Remember Dan Campbell when he made a switch? That man brought in new coaches during the season.
He also was hired after a bye after they flew back from London.
Okay, they were flying back from London. Okay.
Well, a switch has to happen before any trades, right? Because you can't start trading players and expect the coach to have the less talent and then fire him after the fact anyway. Don't the switch has to happen before anybody's moved?
I mean, if I get to the point where I start the season 0-4, do I really care about what happens? I'm asking a genuine question. What am I doing? What am I trying to do? I'm trying to win or I'm trying to
You're preparing for the future. You're preparing for the future.
I love that you said that.
Prepare for the future. Where were you going with that, Omar? Were you saying tanking?
There's nobody to tank for, but the point is, do I really care what happens?
I think they do, actually.
I'm having a fire sale.
Yeah, me too.
I'm sorry.
We should have ended that, but yeah.
Every day you see new reports from Adam Schefter and Mike Florio because they both got competing people feeding them information. I'm sorry, you're an idiot if you don't think Tyreek is going to be traded by the trade deadline.
The season's off the rails. Absolutely,
he's gone. Yeah. he knows this. Let's not live in the land of denial. Like, like, so if I don't, if I give up on this season, which firing a coach would ultimately mean you're giving up on this season. Mm-hmm. That's in my opinion, because my team would have a better chance with Mike McDaniel staying, because this isn't like the Joe Philbin team where they quit on that coach. Mm-hmm. They haven't quit on Mike yet. And last year he's shown you that he can resurrect the team. Now, are we going to do the Tony Sperano, which is look for any opening that we can get to fire a coach?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, because the last thing we want to do is have him rally back. So we're in two different categories here. It's like we're not just trying to exit off the coach. And if we fire him, is it a reset? And is it a sell everything? Like, we don't care about winning.
Yeah.
Like every Dolphin fan wants – every Dolphin fan – not every. I shouldn't say every. I would say 80% of Dolphin fans want them to lose to Buffalo because in their mind, it will lead to the ultimate
correct
reset that they want.
82.7 to be exact.
Huh?
82.7 to be exact.
So if you know that, you have to go into the Buffalo game with a sense of desperation if you really care about these people.
Sure, there's no excuse for them not playing hard. The bottom line is they're outmatched, particularly with the issues they have on the offensive line. Yes, it's a really, really, really
bad. They've been outmatched the last two times, and they played them pretty well.
I think they were in
the Buffalo, the way they look now.
This is a division opponent. They know.
Man,
they
them
know
rookie. Them. Yeah, but them rookies ain't got no experience against this divisional opponent. And that O-line really don't have no experience about versus what's finna about to come with that linebacking core.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Stranger things that happen. Hey, the 2004, that's probably before your time or maybe not, the 2004 Dolphins were 2-11. They were playing the 12-1 Patriots in a Monday night game, and they beat them, which to me still to this day is the greatest upset in franchise history. This one would be up there for me.
When was that?
2004.
And who was the quarterback?
AJ Feely.
Or was that the Wildcat?
No.
Not at all.
No, just straight up AJ Feely.
AJ Feely, touchdown pass to Darius Thompson in the final second. I believe it was on fourth down.
Well, he was better than two.
Remember, the Dolphins used to beat the Patriots annually during their great.
Yeah, night. We did good. We did good against the Patriots. One of the highest win percentages.
Yes, I joked that Josh Allen is the Dolphins' daddy. I'm elevated to stepdaddy now because it's like your stepdaddy just be doing disrespectful things generally. So maybe you know that's a little bit more fitting.
But, he's married now. Did he become uncle? I don't know how that works. Sorry.
I don't think it's impossible for them to win. I just don't see it happening. But if they want to rally for this coach, for this team, for this organization, this is it.
Yep.
Mm.
But you know, most Dolphin fans would hate that.
To me, even if they give a spirited performance that's low on mental mistakes and missed assignments, that will tell me something about them playing for their coach. Why are you laughing?
It's about to be bad.
It's what?
He says it's about to be bad.
I know what I just watched the last 2 weeks with the Dolphins, and I'm seeing Buffalo. This is about to be
Buffalo
bad.
With no preparation this week. Yeah,
no,
you're not lying. You're not lying.
No light at the end of the tunnel with this.
It's not a terribly promising outlook. But
yeah, I mean, you're telling the truth. What you've seen the last 2 weeks, imagine that with no preparation. So and hurt body. Like to me, in these games, you got to start playing new people. You got to start.
Yeah, spark.
Ollie Gordon. You know, Ollie Gordon could be Jay Ajayi for all we know. And he might have a Jay Ajayi game. And then we'll do like
with the DMAs, though. If he's got to stop with DMAs.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just keep looking at it as what matchup can we exploit? And I can't find.
There ain't none.
Tyreek. I just can you? with this pass rushing linebacking core?
Yeah, if you could, they're not going to blitz. They're going to just rush you with four and get home.
They also probably won't have Ed Oliver, and they probably won't have Matt Milano, which obviously will help the Dolphins.
Absolutely. Let's get to some of these questions.
Yeah, we got a chance to two it on turn the ball over. I will say that. We always do when you don't. Let me make this known now. Y'all excuse my reading because it's small on my screen. Greer should go now. Ignore O-line for years and even mock the media about it last year. Now the corners this year, bad GM. I have come to a harsh reality that Tua will never be him. Does not have it. That same it Omar has been looking for 5+ years.
I didn't see that in our RJJJ, our 8-2's comment.
I have the studio. I got to scroll down for you to see.
That's freestyling. RJJ, our 8-2, he did not say that. I don't think Greer is going to be the first to be fired. And I think Greer is going to be the last to be fired. If he's going to be fired, I have not been shy about saying that I think that the Brian Flores lawsuit has a lot to do with his job stability or continued employment. Y'all take that however you want to take that. Does that mean he's going to be running the organization moving forward on the football side? Probably not.
Could be reassigned somewhere in the front office.
Yes. Can be moved somewhere. Can be, but it is what it is.
He got a future, okay? Mike said, never forget, two win games, you have to win the game, not to lose.
And that, by the way, this is why, if you see Mike McDaniel when he's saying it and the way it's being portrayed, and this is not the only gentleman who's mocking it, because it's gotten ridiculed all over the place. I mean, and like you said, Omar, there's just an easy target right now, and especially Mike. I mean, this is a little bit over the top.
Like, y'all know what he was saying. Exactly. You got to win the game, not do things that are going to make you lose the game.
Thank you.
You know what he was saying. But
yeah, you got to go point, get it. You got to win it. You got to go take it.
At this point, I can say Mike McDaniel is an alien from the planet of Ugami, and nobody would defend. Nobody would say he full of bull crap. Nobody would say, they'd be like, you know what? He is a little bit weird and odd. Like, you could say anything about the Dolphins right now. Anything.
And you can't defend it.
And you can't
defend Omar, at Omar, by attacking outside the numbers, doesn't that open up the middle? Because the defense has to account for that. If you do it consistently, right?
Yes.
And by the way, a lot of people are blaming you, Omar, for the Dolphins losing this week, just so you know. They say your behavior in the locker room and your questioning has frazzled some people. Two players in particular.
No, but he inspired Tyreek. Tyreek had his most productive game in a while. So,
and somebody proved to you that their turnovers don't come in bunches because one got called back.
Just saying. Okay.
One got called back. So
who should I challenge this week?
That's a good one. Probably Mike.
I know who TD's going to sign them. President say Sealer.
Oh, listen.
Nah. Sealer is who I thought he was. It is.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Listen.
He's a good player. I've never denied that.
What Sealer is doing right now is babysitting some defensive linemen who cannot help him play the way that he needs to play.
Yeah. Playing and stunting with each other, playing off of each other. I knew it. Because he's great. He actually is great. But they're asking him to be a role that solidifies, bam, I need you right here, be here. He can't have fun. I don't think they're allowing him to have fun.
And I feel everybody's taking it all right now. Everybody from, the rookies got to step up, and that's on list number 7 of things that are problems, but Sealer got to start with stopping the run. That's your job. That's your job and your defensive line's job. Where would they rank right now in stopping the run? I believe they'd probably be like bottom 5.
Second to last. I think we've given up. Yeah. No. I think our run game is second to last. We only ran for 139. What takes Mike so long to get plays in? I think I want to defend that real quick. That whole A-chain situation stepping out of bounds threw them off guard. Whenever we had to call a timeout after that. I think that one threw him off guard big time. But the other ones, there's no excuse, really. You can win big with Tua, but you're not going to win big because of Tua. Alan Poupard, no truer words have ever been spoken.
Dolphins are 25th against the run, giving up 139 yards per carry. However, they are 14th in yards per carry, which with 4.03, which is not bad. So, it's not horrible.
And they're 29th in rushing yards per game, but 4th in rushing yards per attempt.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Under what circumstance do the Dolphins bench Tua?
None.
Never. Not going to happen.
One for 17 with 5 picks. End the game. No, there is a circumstance, but it's not a benching then. When the game's out of reach, like it was against Indianapolis, bench while the game's still in doubt. Yeah, if Tua is 1 for 17 with 5 picks.
What if the Miami Dolphins are like 2-11, and he's having 3 horrible games in a row, like last week? Do you not throw Ewers in to get him some reps?
Not unless you've made the decision to move on from Tua. Oh, that's.
I mean, shouldn't that be the topic of discussion at that point anyway? If that was the scenario?
Yes, it should be a topic of discussion at that point. Absolutely.
What defensive position group has been the most disappointing through 2 weeks, two games weeks?
The answer is yes.
Which position? Oh, all of them.
Yes, the answer is yes. Has there been one position that's not been booted?
Special teams.
No. On defense. What position group on defense
has been the most disappointing?
Defensive line.
I'm going to be more specific. I'm going to say edge defenders.
Why not the tackles?
Because some of you guys came into the season thinking, boom, that defensive line is going to be awesome. I was like, kind of, whoa, simmer down. I thought the edge defenders would be a lot more impactful through 2 games than they've been. That's
some of what guys? Phillips. Some of what not guys? Just him.
Dude, there were questions during training camp that were asked of players, like, you guys could have – the question was
prevalent. You could have one of the best – fronts, yeah.
Front sevens in the NFL. What's your thoughts on that?
Wow. Crazy work. Casey with the donation. We appreciate you. We appreciate everybody showing love to the collective. With Tua, the 6th highest paid player, don't get Omar mad, and such a tiny margin for error, can the Dolphins really win anything meaningful in the next 2 years? Or is it time to rip the Band-Aid off and start preparing for the future?
Tua has a very large salary, which the Dolphins are technically done with in 2026. But Tua is
not. After
2026, yes. But Tua is not the reason why this team is bad. This team is poorly built, horribly run from a financial standpoint, has no depth, fundamentally is lacking in a lot of areas. And that's the primary reason. Now, let's say Jordan Love was here as the starting quarterback, because that's who Brian Flores wanted. How much different do you think that this team would be right now with Jordan Love as a quarterback as opposed to Tua? I would argue to you that they'd probably still be going through the same struggles.
They wouldn't need the offensive line to be as good because Jordan Love has more mobility. But this is not to say I think Jordan Love has more upside and his future is to be determined. And Casey, the answer to your question is, unless the Dolphins want to go through the painful process of doing what Denver did last year for Russell Wilson,
yeah, cap.
Pretty much get ready for the fact he's going to be the starting quarterback in 2025 and in 2026.
Hey, man, I'm here for pain. I'm here for pain. Let's rip the Band-Aid.
On the list of things that are problems for this team and this franchise, Tua is not the problem. What he is an easy mark.
Yeah, but Omar, you said that the team,
he's the highest paid player on the team and the sixth highest paid player in the NFL. That he should be an easy mark because he needs to be the guy carrying the team at that salary.
And he's not going to carry the team. And Omar, you said the team is poorly constructed. Why do we have two small receivers instead of any real receivers with size? Why is that?
You don't have two small receivers. You have five small receivers.
Why do you have five small receivers and no receivers with size? Why is that? Let's break that down.
Because Mike McDaniel puts a premium on speed and creating separation as opposed to catch radius.
Because he puts a premium on that. Why?
Because
he has an accurate quarterback.
Yes, because he has an accurate quarterback. Yes, you're correct.
Thus, again, because of Tua.
Okay.
That's what he wanted.
I didn't say that the offense wasn't built for Tua, but the defense has nothing to do with Tua.
Yeah, I get that. But I've been saying for years, this defense is going to be the first ones to take a hit because we're putting so much money on the offense.
And if you're building a team for Tua, then why don't you have giants of an offensive line?
Because the scheme calls for mobility,
and he got to see over the line. You don't want to.
But we're building a team for Tua. We're building a team for Tua. Like I'm building a brick wall, but we're not doing that.
Well, they also don't have the resources because they're spending so much money on their quarterback
and their weapons
combination. Correct.
Even if they had the resources and they could make the resources, they wouldn't spend the resources.
Come on now.
They wouldn't.
Did they not already spend it?
No.
All these guys we brought in, they didn't spend the resources?
No.
Chubb, Tyreek, Waddle, Ramsey.
They did when they went for it in 22 and 23.
Yeah, they did. They did back then.
But look at the results.
We're 2 years removed from the spending.
We're 2 years removed because in 23 they got Jalen Ramsey. But that got them nowhere. And then last offseason they start. No, hold on. Last offseason was, remember, the summer of everybody gets a new deal. And then that flopped. And then this year was like, no, we're going to stop with the referee spending like that.
Well, I can say this, put the Eagles O-line in front of Tua or even the Colts O-line. I guarantee Tua numbers and his mental would be A1. But we got horrible line play, definitely right side. Is Jalen Hurts not out there running for his life, moving the pocket, escaping? We're throwing on a run, having to actually run. Why do y'all keep doing this? Yeah, now don't get me wrong. Yes, it would make life easier for Tua, but why do we think that these guys with great old lines aren't still running for their life? Why do y'all think that? They still running for their life. They still making plays off script. They still got to put the team on their back when they shut down the run game in a Super Bowl against the number one rated defense. He still had to put the team on his back.
What annoys me is it's like there are certain fans, and you know who you are, who will like consider anything less than good offensive line play if Tua doesn't have 10 seconds to throw the ball on every single time he drops back. It's like that's not reality. Omar, come on. You know that's true.
I'm not that.
No, I wasn't saying about you. I'm saying there are certain fans that's like, the game against the Colts, I mean, I said it before, I'm going to say it again. Sorry, he got very good protection the entire game. And yet there were a bunch of fans who were like, he was hurried all the time. Give me a break. This is the NFL. That doesn't happen. Sorry, go ahead.
We knew that Tua had good pocket presence. We know that he's a good decision maker. Are there going to be aberrations? We know what he can't do, and we know what he can do. He's had good pocket presence his whole career. Now all of a sudden people are like, oh, he's getting happy feet. No, he is feeling uncomfortable because his pocket keeps collapsing on him.
Dude, but he's not particularly been. This is why I'm saying there's some of those sacks. He's not been particularly impressive at knowing when he needs to take off.
And truth be told, some of those sacks, he actually had 3-4 seconds back there, and then it started to break down.
I agree. I don't disagree with you. He's a step slow of when to take off and the elusiveness.
That's part of pocket presence.
I think that's a decaying of ability as opposed to not being able to do it. I think the hip injury he just suffered made him slower, because the two that I've known would step up and run. Or maybe the edict that you can't run, shouldn't run, get down, is catching up to him.
I will say something is different. He's actually a tad bit slower than he is last year.
Thank you.
Even last year. I will say that. Something is bothering him.
He is a tad bit slower than he usually is.
No, that's fair.
Omar, where's your best defender on the team been? Jalen Phillips, injuries might have caught up. He won't get that big contract. That was me that said the big contract, by the way.
He's going to be fine. He'll be all right. Like, no matter what happens, he could go get a Andrew Van Ginkle contract. He'll be all right. But you're right. He has not stepped up and played the way that I expected him to play. But has anybody on the defense stepped up and played the way you expected him to play? No.
Yeah, that's right.
And I want to say for the record, I actually like what Jack Jones and Rasul Douglas did like last week. It's a starting point. And that's my thing. We need to find starting points. Like, I like the way Jordan Brooks is playing. I'm good with those two cornerbacks. Maybe we need to explore what we do at the nickel position. Like, you know, Zach Sealer, I'm sorry. I'm not going to put what's going on the defensive line on Zach Sealer. I see Sealer out there hustling. I see him making plays. Yeah. Is he getting a lot of attention? Hell yeah.
Did you notice, Omar, the Dolphins, and they signed Cornell Armstrong to the active roster? Maybe that's what's going to happen at the nickel position. At some point, the Dolphins are going to decide Jason Marshall Jr., maybe a little bit too green. Let's get the veteran there. He wasn't active on Sunday, or he was active and didn't play a snap. But I would think that maybe that's coming sooner rather than later.
And I'm also of the opinion that, and I do like T-Dot, I like Terrell Dotson, but it's, you know, Seattle got rid of you for these exact similar reasons. And something ain't connecting here. Something's not connecting. And maybe if I replace him with Willie Gay, and I'm not saying that Willie Gay's a magic solve it everything, like something got to happen. Something's got to give, because it's not clicking. It's off. The whole thing is off.
Yep.
And, you know, it was like that when David Long was playing, and then all of a sudden we went to Anthony Walker, and all of a sudden it just tightened up. So I don't know.
And then Walker got hurt, and T Dot came in.
Yeah.
Miss Relentless, don't worry, you're already modded. If you got a mod, just know that we appreciate all of you doing your loyalty to the channel. Some of you guys are getting the mod, all right? St. Eddie said, we need Omar to challenge Dotson, Fitzpatrick, and Jonah.
Damn, Eddie, how you going to do me like that, man? Listen, it's funny that Eddie said that, because those are the three players that my eyes are fixated on you, because I'm not very pleased with what I've seen from Minka Fitzpatrick from a leadership standpoint. And I'll just leave it there.
Yeah, but that's not really his style, though. He's always been low-key.
I don't care. Sorry. Like, I don't care. Like, you were brought here to be Tua's Kemo Sabe on the defensive side. Like, you acting like you don't care what goes on. I got eyes. Like,
ain't he on contract watch?
He got his money.
Minka?
Yeah.
Yeah, but just for the year, though, right?
Yeah, no, correct.
You flip the money. They not cutting him. That's a ridiculous, ridiculous cap hit.
Look at PFF grades for the O-line, LOL, where Omar's already made it clear
he don't care nothing about the grades. PFF grades.
Yeah, it's an indicator.
About passer rating. Guys,
stop it. I care about yards after the contact. I care about yards after the catch. I care about rushing yards per game, yards per carry average. I care about turnover ratio. So, please.
Very nice. I like that.
Yes. Yeah. I do care about passer rating more than most. Yes, I do.
And you did say you care about yak.
Yeah. Yards after contact, yards after the catch.
Tua probably had more yak than passing yards in this one, right?
What'd you say?
He probably had more yak than Who? Then
not in this one. No, no, no. There weren't a lot of plays where it was a bubble screen that gained 25 yards. He had the one to A-Chain on the touchdown. That was a lot of yak outside of that.
A-Chain's bubble screen. A-Chain's drop back to pass. Everybody covered. A-Chain fakes out, comes across the middle, and rips up the field. That's another one. You forgot A-Chain had two big ones.
Well, he might have had another big one, too. The touchdown was going to be one of those. It was a check down. It was almost went like 45 yards. Mm. But he also had a lot of completions that were down the field. He had more completions down the field.
Yeah, that 40-yard comeback came back. That 40-yard comeback was live in this one. And I told you, Omar, that's a route. They added it to the route tree officially in the NFL, by the way.
Or a 20-yard out, whichever.
20-yard out? Oh, this quarterback ain't throwing no 20-yard
out. Oh, dude, he did it a couple of times, or 15 yards, however you want to.
No, now you're talking 15. About that teardrop pass that he – floats in there. He does that.
He can do that. Yeah.
He can do that.
That's
suite.
What the route is. That's what they're doing. They're doing.
Ain't no comeback.
He's the one saying comeback. Not me.
No, I'm talking about the 40-yard comeback routes. You know, and he even said it in the press conference. I told Tyreek, you know, I ain't gonna throw it 80 yards. So look for the ball because you might have to stop and come back for it. He made that clear. So hopefully we ain't gotta argue about that more, people. All right.
What does that show you, TD? What does that show you? It's 3rd and 13. Chuck it.
Just even put it up.
It's a punt.
See, they don't want us to get out of here. They still donating. Said, as a fan base, we need to call for Ross to sell the team. He's at the core of the problem. He's the one who hires these clown dinners. He's getting it to his daughters. Especially when you see what's happening with the Colts owner now. That is actually when I saw her writing down on the sideline, she out there taking notes during the game. I was like, I kind of like this.
Listen, I thought about this. A lot of people have these complaints that, and this is just me thinking out loud, and hopefully people don't get offended. They usually will. Steve Ross is handing his organization over to the to his daughters. Mm-hmm. Why they are going to be the next owners of the Miami Dolphins? Why isn't one of them in the building? Since everybody has these theories and thought processes and questions and concerns about, oh, Steve Ross isn't in the building. He doesn't know what's going on. He's a hands-off owner, which I don't have a problem with. But if your daughters are going to be running the organization, it would be nice if they actually went inside and saw what was going on.
Not if they're going to run it like their dad. He ain't in the building on the regular.
Yeah, I mean, but everybody has this complaint about Ross. I don't think I don't think it has any validity, because what I want an owner to do is spend money and get out the way.
He does that. That's why I keep telling people he's what you want in an owner.
I want an owner to hire the right people, which he has not done, spend money and get out the way. Yeah.
We're number two in QB spending, counting Tua's pricey backup since Tua can't stay healthy. Yet the return from the position is minimal. Tua's limitations show up when the game is on the line. I'm ready to take the cap pain and move on.
I'm starting to get the feeling Casey's not a big Tua fan.
It's a lot of those now.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. When we get a reset,
yeah.
They might want to go with Mr. South Carolina quarterback. I don't know. I don't care.
Ooh, Sellers?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't care.
Sign me up.
Depending on how you bottom out. If you gotta be real bad to get there. Hmm. But I don't know. I don't care. I really don't.
How much blame does Anthony Weaver get for defense?
50% of it.
Because the personnel?
I remember the first time we met with Anthony Weaver in training camp, my question and column was, you sure this is your secondary? You sure this is what you're good with? This is you all right? You don't need no help? You sure? Oh, these are who you riding with? Okay.
But that's not his call, though. I mean.
I don't get. No, it wasn't Vic Fangio's call. And Vic Fangio was like, I need help. Give me some defensive guys.
Vic's also like a borderline Hall of Fame assistant coach.
That's a little strong, but
look at his career numbers. Philly had the number one defense in the NFL last year after being like 20 the year before.
I put him in the mix to be interviewed for as a head coach, by the way.
What do you think the turning point was for the Dolphins offense? Was it after Tua's concussion in Cincinnati when defenses knew he he'll never run.
Because that was 2020. That was 2022 and 2023. They were lighting it up.
Yeah, I don't think there was actually a turning point.
Tyreek's high ankle sprain against Tennessee in 2023.
I think the turning point was when they supposedly re-emphasized the rules where you have to come to a complete stop before you can, your motion can be continued.
Mm-hmm.
And the Malik Washington, no, stop it. Hold on. The Malik,
you don't have to come Malik, to a complete Malik Washington stop. Play you can't move Sunday. Forward.
How many times did you see Tyreek make side. That play?
Yeah, but you can't move forward. You don't have to come to a complete stop. You just have to have better timing.
Omar, because you don't attend these. I attend these, the referee sessions, every training camp. Last year, they specifically said after a story came out on Pro Football Talk about they were going to enforce Tyreek going forward at the motion, which he did a lot in 2023. And the official was like, nope, nothing like that. And then this year, we asked him, were there any points of emphasis? I asked him, are there any points of emphasis this year? Nope. They called Malik Washington because it's in the rules. You're not supposed to go forward. And they let Tyreek get away with it all of 2023. And then last year, the Dolphins stopped doing it so much. And then this year, Malik got called because he was clearly going forward at the snap.
Okay, so why do we not see Tyreek doing it more often?
You tell me, and I believe you surmise that it was because it takes too long to get going.
Yeah, but you can do it at home, and that was home, and I expected to see more motions. I expected to see more speed motions.
But it also requires perfect timing. You can't mistime that. And Malik Washington mistimed it. And it happened in another game. Another game it got called in a critical moment where the receiver started moving forward. And not the Dolphins game. I saw it yesterday. So they're cracking down on that. And that's all about timing. You don't want to blow a whole play because, oh, man, he was moving a little early. Especially you see a blitz coming or something at the last minute. And all these things actually limit us. It limits the offense from making a change at the last minute.
Made you special, though.
Tyreek made us special. Imagine they sign Florida's back and cut to a Dolphins need a hard coach tank for Arch.
Not happening.
Ooh, Arch Manning?
I don't know about that.
Have you seen him play so far this year?
No, it hasn't been great. Isn't the defense built expecting the offense to be ahead, so it's also kind of built for Tua. Or at least their expectations of him and McDaniel. Yeah.
The one consistent thread that has existed since 2023 when they actually had a good offense is the run game has gone away. So let's get back to running the ball.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Miami Dolphins play the Buffalo Bills this week. First and foremost, man, we want to say thank you to everybody that stops through and show us love. We had like 1,200 people in here at one point. The Dolphins Collective continues to do bigger and better things thanks to each and every one of you guys that tune in and punch that like button, subscribe, and let others know when we are live. We will be back on Friday night at 6 p.m., if I'm not mistaken, will everybody be back by then? I don't know. Well, just in case, keep up with the bulletin, just in case we have to drop something that would be subject to change. But that's the goal for now with the subject to change. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the love and support. Help us get to 9,000 subscribers by sharing the video and letting people know what they're missing out on. Any last words, Alan?
Blueberry.
Omar, any last word?
Oh, you come up with.
Beat Buffalo, save the season.
All right. Well, for me, time will tell. All right. Time will tell. And a lot of things time have already told. But let's see about Buffalo. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Yes. Fins up no matter what. Peace. We are out.
Yeah.